JC Corcoran Podcast.
Holiday spirit, we're getting close. Christmas coming up. Get excited.
Yes,
come on.
Yes, I am. I am. I actually like the holidays, and Thanksgiving is my favorite because you just get to eat and that type of thing. But I don't know. I don't like that Black Friday type of stuff. It just freaks me out. Makes me sad for Americans watching them getting trampled, you know?
Yeah. You don't like
Black Friday? Why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself? Why wouldn't you just admit that you can't afford it at regular prices? Come back the next day. Come back the next day like a gentleman. Just walk in there, pick out what you want, and if your kids get less, they get less. That gives them drive. You know, rich kids just sit around, you know, doing blow, sitting in Ferraris. They don't do anything. It's the poor kids that they make stuff happen. So
yeah,
you don't get trampled, grabbing your wig, you know. Suspenders flying off. It's so sad. To do what? Get an above-ground pool for $30 off. There is nothing in Walmart worth getting trampled over. I bet it is. There's nothing. It's processed meat, clothes, all of it. You're gonna get trampled. Like, make it like a high-end store. Like, I don't even know what. Nothing worth getting trampled. It just makes me depressed.
Yeah.
That you would do that. People sit out for like weeks.
There's a week.
They don't even go to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like on their cell phone and their mom's crying. I just think you'd want to spend it with us. And you're sitting out there in that parking lot, feeling those people breathing down the back of your neck, just going like knowing who you're gonna elbow. It's just the saddest.
There are women that waited 22 days at Best Buy. They waited 22 days.
And what did they get? What do you think they got?
I don't know.
They got trampled.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you're going to go there, you don't want to be at the front of the line. You want to be about 40 deep. And I figure you pop out of the line and you wait till that first wave or two falls down. And then you go over the top like Walter Payton back in the day. Roll out of it. But even then, you gotta know where to go in the store. Like, where is the thing that is on sale, right? Where are those Mint Milano cookies or whatever they have that you're gonna make a beeline for? On that linoleum floor, you're gonna blow out a knee? It's the saddest thing. It's 1 year what people should do. You know, like Richard Branson, one of these hot air balloon rich guys, you should just like float in over them right before it and just start dropping everything that they want. But even then, they would start stampeding. Like, no matter how many hot air balloons he had.
No, it's a bad idea. You don't want billionaires in hot air balloons dropping toasters on people. That's a stupid idea.
Yeah, like a little parachute. All right, gift certificates.
All right. No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, November 22, 2021, here at jcontheline.com, 351 days remaining in American democracy as we have known it. Well, where do you want to start? Actually, I'm going to start with something serious here today. They had that tragedy in Waukesha. And by the way, listening to national reporters on the network trying to pronounce Waukesha and stuff like that, it's like Waukesha. Ask somebody, you know, ask somebody. You go into the average national television network newsroom, and you're going to find somebody from the Midwest who knows how to pronounce Waukesha. Good thing he wasn't trying to do the Kinnickinnick River as you approach Milwaukee, Wisconsin from Chicago. I wouldn't even try to spell it for you right now, but there's lots of K's and N's and C's and K's, and it's just over and over and over again. It looks like a New York City cab driver's ID card. It's like, man, oh man, is there a vowel in there somewhere? Anyhow, supposedly what happened, they just thought that some guy went nuts and decided to drive his car into a bunch of people at a holiday parade. And apparently that's not what happened. Apparently, just moments before this thing happened, whoever was driving this SUV was involved in some sort of altercation involving a knife fight or something, and was trying to escape. I guess somebody was, two guys were like shivving each other, and then one guy jumped to the SUV and just says, I'm going to get the fuck out of here, and just hits the gas, comes around a corner, doesn't know what's going on there, and just plows into the parade. Apparently, it was not the driver's intention to do that. So at least we have that going. But apparently, they're going to have a news conference at 1 St. Louis time today and announce everything. And you know there's going to be the announcement of casualties and lots of injuries and stuff like that. All right, let's get that stuff out of the way. Oh, look what's waiting for us, the Kyle Rittenhouse stuff. Of course, the jury came in over the weekend after we finished the show on Friday, or maybe that's not what happened. Maybe that's just how I remember it, because last night we went out for pizza on Friday night about 5:45. And last night I told my wife, I said, it feels like it was about a month ago that we went for pizza on Friday night. Do you ever do that, like on Sunday night or Monday morning? Look around and go, I can't remember what I did on Friday. And that's sort of what this weekend was like. It was just a blur. I don't know what that means. Does that mean it was a good weekend or a bad weekend? If you just wake up on Monday morning and can't remember what you did 72 hours ago. And I don't want to start with this Rittenhouse thing. You've heard, every pundit on earth talk about this. I'm just going to make an observation about the way people are reacting to it. So here's my take on it, at least as far as right today is concerned. I might feel different about it tomorrow, who knows. But there were no winners in this whole thing, okay? In the final analysis, maybe the side that you were on was victorious last week in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and conversely, maybe you were supporting the side that lost. The only thing I want to say about the people who were on the side that won, just because you won does not mean there's cause for celebration. Nothing good came out of this unless you have a very, very warped view of the world. Because ultimately, you got two people dead. You got another one not going to be able to, he has no right arm anymore. You have the nation even further divided because of the controversial outcome of the whole thing. When it really comes down to it, I mean, don't bullshit me. The Wisconsin law that applied to this whole situation is a very, very poorly written law. And from a technical standpoint, unfortunately, the jury probably came back with the only verdict that they could. Doesn't mean that Kyle Rittenhouse was right. It means you have a shitty law in Wisconsin. And all the elements that needed to take place took place. And all I think it really achieved was, people just say, I ain't ever going to go to Wisconsin. I'm just staying out of the state of Wisconsin. They got shitty laws there, and I'm not going to get caught up in something. I remember having a conversation with Dick Ford once, the long-time Channel 5 and Channel 2 anchor person who is pushing 90. He actually may be 90. Let me just put it. In 2019, I saw him. He was 80. Yeah, so he's 90 now. And still doing great, by the way. There was some sort of clerical error or something, and I ended up in one of the big banquet things at the St. Louis Press Club. I had never been to anything like that, but I wanted to go one time. And so I sort of went in on somebody else's coattails. I don't want to say who the person was because it'll get him in trouble. But anyhow, so I went to this thing. And there's Dick Ford, He's very tall, and he's always been very thin. He used to run like crazy. He ran. He was a runner. He's always running. Plus, he's got a wife, Gail, who is exactly 20 years younger than him, and that's got to help too. And he hasn't lost the step. I mean, we're standing there. He looks older, you know. But he, he's not, I think he was dyeing his hair there for a while. He just stopped dyeing his hair, so he's gray now. You know, when you're not on TV, you don't have to worry about stuff like that. People always think it's vanity of the actual on-air people when you see people doing, like, too much makeup or men who are wearing a hairpiece or dyeing their hair. And my experience has been that it's not them. It's not the people. It's their concern, and also the producers and the station owners and news directors and producers and stuff like that that are concerned about the way the audience is going to react. So they sometimes, well, I had a guy tell me once that my beard wasn't defined enough. He said, I think you should either shave it off completely or grow it out further. He was an insane maniac. And that wasn't the only stupid stuff he said. And he also brought in stupid people. He brought in an assistant news director once. You are going to think I am making this up. But the next time you see, let's see, who was around it? Well, Doug Vaughn. Doug Vaughn was definitely around at that time. So if you think I'm bullshitting you right now, and you run into Doug Vaughn sometime, and you ask him. I cannot remember this guy's last name. Odd that I can remember his name, Billy, but I can't remember his last name. But maybe the next time I see Doug, I'll ask him. He'll remember the name. But anyhow, they have this assistant news director, Billy something. And this guy, I don't know where they found him. I don't know where they found him. But you got to remember that the news director at the time, this is at Channel 4, the news director at the time was crazy. They were doing all this stuff that consultants had come along. You know, they'd say, blah, 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 blah. I'll have more details on that at 10:17. What's the point of that? Why don't you just tell me the story? If it's news and it's important, tell me now. But what they were doing is they were trying to manipulate people into staying past the quarter hour. And this starts to get into a bunch of mumbo jumbo regarding the television ratings. But you have to be able to get, I'm not even going to start with this. Anyhow, they just had a reason for doing it. They thought, but it looked ridiculous on television. I'll have that story for you at 10:17. Yeah, well, it's 10:03 right now. I might have to go to the John. I don't know. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be around. But if you just told me the story now, you wouldn't have a problem and I wouldn't have a problem. But, you know, all these crazy things. They were also the people responsible for hiring the male prostitute and then hiding a camera and a microphone in the Adams Mark Hotel because they have this priest in Metro East who was accused of being a pedophile and hiring male prostitutes. So they set him up. The archdiocese went crazy. A lot of people got fired. The whole thing was, you know, I was there at the time at Channel 4 just doing my little entertainment thing off at the corner, but you just can't even imagine what that the whole experience was like. Let me circle back around here now. Dick Ford said that he would never go on vacation. He would take these exotic vacations, you know, to Aruba and stuff like that. But he wouldn't go into a country that did not have a writ of habeas corpus. He basically wouldn't go to any country where you're not innocent until proven guilty. Because we have that luxury in this country. You know, you are innocent until proven guilty. You go to some countries, even in the Caribbean, and South America and Central America and places like that, they don't have that. If they arrest you, you're guilty and you have to prove that you're not guilty. Fuck that. And that's how Dick Ford viewed the whole thing. And back to my story about Billy, the assistant news director. You know, this was at a time, this is right before they cut the entertainment position and I ended up losing my job. So this would have been, what, 99. I still remember I had just come back from California where I had done the interviews for Shakespeare in Love, which, of course, won a bunch of Oscars, Best Picture, all that sort of stuff. And I'm getting ready to, edit the pieces and get them on the air. And the news director calls me in and says, we're going to let you go because they're cutting the position. Budget cuts everywhere at Channel 4 at the time. Got a very nice compliment on my way out. The news director said, I wish I had an entire newsroom of people who could ask a question the way you do. A guy by the name of Steve Hamill, news director. Good guy. I liked him. He had to yell at me once. We had this, you know, far right wing Greek videographer. The guy would go out with the camera on the stories. And this guy was constantly, you know, yakking around the newsroom. You know, he should be out with a camera somewhere shooting a story for the news. What's he doing hanging around the newsroom anyhow? And he was always spewing all this right-wing stuff and all this Rush Limbaugh stuff. And he and I started jawing at each other. And the news director came out of his office and threatened to fire both of us. He wasn't going to really do it, but, you know, we deserved it. We were screaming at each other in the newsroom. And he came out and had to threaten us. And, you know, it was effective. We didn't do it anymore. I hate the guy. He hates me. Everybody goes away happy. Kept our jobs, at least at that point. but anyhow, let me get to this Billy story. So Billy was the assistant news director at Channel 4 when all this was going on. And Channel 4, like all TV stations, they were just cutting everything everywhere. And one of the problems was, how do you put a news show on without camera people out in the field shooting news stories? You know, maybe on a typical day you would have, you know, 8 videographers, and all of a sudden you have 6. So I was having trouble getting cameramen, and so was the sports department. This was, their 5 o'clock news. They were the first TV station in St. Louis to completely get rid of sports in the 5 o'clock show. Their position was, it's all, quote-unquote, housewives watching, and they don't care about sports. So unless it was like a big playoff game or something like that, 5 o'clock news on Channel 4, you got no sports. So we're doing all these weird ideas. But anyhow, the sports department was really getting pissed on. And one of the guys in the Channel 4 sports department was supposed to be interviewing Tony La Russa about something. I think it was a trade or something like that. And they couldn't find camera people to send over to the ballpark. So this guy, Billy, actually says, well, can't you just have Tony La Russa walk over here? Keep in mind, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all right? And the Cardinals have a game scheduled for that night. And Tony La Russa has been in uniform at the ballpark since 2:30 in the afternoon. So now, at 4 o'clock, this assistant news director at Channel 4 actually suggests that they call up Tony La Russa and say, can you just walk the 3 or 4 blocks over to 1 Memorial Drive and just come in? You could do the interview here. We have cameras in place here. You imagine what it would look like if Tony La Russa in full uniform is walking 4 blocks from Busch Stadium over to 1 Memorial Drive. And then another time, the same guy, this was not when all the games were on TV. Every once in a while, you would have a game that was not broadcast. This was the 90s, okay? It's hard to imagine that time existed where a situation like that would take place. But every once in a while, you'd get a bastard game that wasn't televised, so you'd have to send a camera over there for the entire game and shoot the whole thing because you never knew when anything was going to happen, except that Billy said, well, we're going to be pretty busy in the evening. Can we just send a camera over maybe like the 5th or 6th inning? That's when they score all the runs anyhow. Those were his words. In his world, it was okay to get there in the 5th or 6th inning because that's when they score all the runs anyhow. Like I said, I'm telling you these stories, and if I were you, I'm not sure that I would believe them either. But I swear to you, what I'm telling you is true. And again, the only guy I can remember who was around at that time that I can guarantee you was around at that time was Doug Maughan. So if you ever see him and you're questioning the validity of these stories, you ask him, and guess what? He is going to verify that these stories are true. Tomorrow, if I remember, I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened at Channel 5 that is so crazy, so goofy, you're going to probably even have difficulty following the story, but I'm going to do my best to tell you the whole thing. Yeah, that's right. I got more icky news here. Yeah, the South Carolina case, closing arguments today. Also, we may get a ruling for the Supreme Court today on the Texas abortion law. So that's going to be a huge, huge story. Both of those things will be huge, but especially that Texas story. Am I alone in failing to understand why mobs of kids, basically I'm sure they're kids, come running into a high-end Louis Vuitton store or something like that with like 15 people, grab thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, and then run out of the place. And they keep doing it. They're doing it in all the major cities. It's happened in Chicago a lot. It's happened in the St. Louis area a couple of times, too. They just had huge problems in San Francisco over the weekend. And you just see the surveillance camera video of these kids just running, like 15 of them, and they all just start grabbing stuff. And they run out of the store and nothing happens. Sometimes they go into big box stores and they steal a bunch of TVs, and they're out in front of the store loading the TVs into the car. Well, usually it's some sort of a, you know, a van or something like that, or at least an SUV. And there's people shooting video of it, and they're just loading this stolen merchandise right into the car, and then they zoom off, and somehow they're not able to be stopped. There was one over the weekend where it was like a panel truck, and both people who are involved in this thing are trying to load as much stuff into the back as they can. The van is running, and if I were there, I would have put the cell phone down. I would have jumped in the front seat of the car and hit the gas and took off. That would have been one way to stop it. You know, let's put it this way. In the average bank robbery, they come away with a couple of $1,000s. People think that when somebody robs a bank, they go walking out of there with millions of dollars. But the banks have wised up, and so they're never really working with too much cash out in the open. It's limited to just a couple of $1,000s, and the rest of the time, that money is being put in vaults, and the bank robbers know you can't get into the vault. So sometimes they come away with $300 or $400 in a bank robbery. That's it. Now, bank lobbies usually have at least one security officer with a gun. And if you try to steal money from the bank, the security guy who has a gun can shoot you. And everybody knows that, and everybody understands that. So now you have people going into a Louis Vuitton store on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, stealing, you know, 50 times more in dollar value, and yet there's nobody around, there's nobody with a gun. And even if there was somebody, I guess in some cases, they might even have an officer, some sort of security guard, but he can't shoot. And trust me, there's way too much gun violence going on in the world, but at the same time, it's completely counterintuitive. Why do you hire somebody to stand in the lobby with a gun if you're not going to let them do anything? And why are people just shooting video of people stealing thousands of dollars worth of merchandise like it's some sort of entertainment, or they think they're going to be able to sell the tape to Inside Edition for $1,000? I don't understand what's going on. Did you guys see Saturday Night Live over the weekend? I think it was 2 weeks ago that I recall saying, well, that is one of the best Saturday Night Lives I've seen in quite some time. They should just submit that one. Just take the show and send it right off to the Emmy people, and you're going to win an award for the Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago. Well, they come on with this one over the weekend, and this one's just as good. This cast is really hitting a stride right now, and I should say writers too, because it's funny stuff. The cast is really, really able to do stuff. And then you've got Weekend Update, which they just keep hitting it out of the park. This relationship between Michael Che and Colin Jost is very, very unusual and very, very special. They love sticking each other live on the air. It's really, really funny.
On Friday, Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty in the murder of two men during a Black Lives Matter protest. So hopefully he got all that shooting out of his system before he becomes a cop.
Matt Gaetz said his office would be open to hiring Kyle Rittenhouse as a congressional intern, because Gaetz has always loved teenagers who are willing to do terrible things.
Here's what's funny about that joke is first they groaned and then they thought about it for 2 or 3 seconds and then they realized how funny it was and then they started laughing and then applauding a real long time. So, but if you get a chance to see a recording of this or on demand or something like that, it was a particularly good show. And this guy, this new cast member who imitates Trump, word has gotten around very, very quickly. It was all over social media over the weekend that you got to check this guy out.
I'd love it if it was word search. And you know what? I was treated very unfairly by Chris Christie. He was very nasty, and he said very nasty things about me on Bill Maher. And you know what, poor Chris? I mean, we love him. He's a wonderful person. But you know what? We don't like him very much. I think we hate him. And You know what? Poor Chris wasn't even the main interview. He had to sit on the panel with all the other dopes and watch Bill do the new rules. And you know what? Speaking of new rules, Dua Lipa is one of our best singers. And frankly, in terms of singer, you can't do better than Dua Lipa. But you know what? Her husband, who is not very attractive, you know what? It's terrible what they're doing with Dua Lipa's husband not being attractive. We have to do something about it. She's tall. She's Albanian, which is basically white. And you know who else is white? Bob the Builder, Build the Wall, Trump 2024.
Man, that guy is spooky. Holy crap. I got goosebumps listening to that. Unbelievable. And then they did a pre-recorded piece. It was a music video, and it was a parody of Walking in Memphis. And I can't tell you any more than that because it'll ruin the surprise in the whole thing. But I'm telling you, I laughed out loud about halfway through this thing. So if you don't have a chance to watch a whole show, just, you know, Google it or do something. But make sure you see the song parody that they did with Pete Davidson doing the Mark Cohn thing, Walking in Memphis. How funny was that for those of you who saw it? All right, tomorrow we're going to have the review of House of Gucci, starring Lady Gaga, Adam Driver, Al Pacino, a bunch of other people. Oh, God, Jared Leto, he's unrecognizable in this movie. Anyhow, we'll do that review for you tomorrow. American Music Awards last night. Remember when you used to look forward to that show? Because there were musical artists that we liked and that we knew their music. And now all the usual suspects, Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, Machine Gun Kelly, Drake, Megan Thee Stallion, Luke Bryan, Carrie Underwood. Adele convinced Spotify to stop making auto shuffle automatic when you listen to an album. Here's the quote. "We don't create albums with so much care and thought into our track listing for no reason. Our art tells a story, and our stories should be listened to as we intended," end quote. ABC doing another one of those live in front of a studio audience specials. This one's going to be on December 7th. They're going to do Different Strokes and the Facts of Life. Kevin Hart is going to play Gary Coleman's part on Different Strokes. Damon Wayans is playing his big brother Willis, originally played by Todd Bridges. John Lithgow is playing Mr. Drummond, and Ann Dowd from The Handmaid's Tale is going to play Mrs. Garrett. It stands to reason that she's in both episodes since she was the crossover character. There's no word on any other Facts of Life casting. Monday Night Football tonight, Tampa should not have much trouble with the New York Giants in the Bay Area. Late night, Jeremy Renner and Kristen Chenoweth with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Sandra Bullock and Bill Burr. Andrew Garfield with Stephen Colbert. Adrian Brody pops up with James Corden and Seth Meyers as Michael Che and Congressman Adam Schiff. Jussie Smollett. Remember this guy up in Chicago who allegedly staged that attack on himself in 2019, attended his first red carpet premiere. Oh, good. He's going to try to stage a comeback. Ghostbusters Afterlife, $44 million opening weekend. Pretty good considering people have still not flocked back to movie theaters. Birthdays today, Scarlett Johansson, 37. Mark Ruffalo, good actor, 54. Oscar Pistorius. All right, so this guy has two blades for legs and feet. He's lucky to be alive. He, even though has no legs or feet, manages to land this unbelievable blonde and then shoots her, kills her in his bathroom. See, when you're that stupid, you deserve to be in jail. 35 today. Mariel Hemingway, 60. Jamie Lee Curtis, 63. Stephen Van Zandt, 71. Billie Jean King, 78. Terry Gilliam from Monty Python, 81. And Rodney Dangerfield was born on this date in 1921. The White Album came out 53 years ago today, 1968. And one of the things I'd wanted to get off my bucket list, I managed to do back in, let's see, maybe it was 2014. We were living in Houston there for a couple of years, and I'd never been to Dallas that I could recall. Been to the airport a couple of times, but I'd never actually been there. And I wanted to go see where Kennedy was shot, which occurred 58 years ago today in 1963. So we go down there to Dealey Plaza, and they have a tour that you can take, and then they take you up to the floor where Lee Harvey Oswald was. and there's all these newspaper clippings, and there's a video presentation and a tour guide, and they give you these little headphones, and you sort of listen to a lot of the news reports, and then you get to look out the window, and there's a little X out on the street, out on the, sort of looks like Forest Park Parkway a little bit, and they have an X, which is where the whole thing happened, where the motorcade was, where Kennedy's limousine was when he was shot and killed, and you look out there, and on television, movies, documentaries, everything where they have dealt with the presidential assassination of John F. Kennedy, and it just looks like the length of a football field. You go up there and you look down, and you could take a quarter, throw it out the window, and hit that X. And the same thing with the grassy knoll, you know, because you got that grassy knoll, and then behind it was like that white fence, and people to this day still believe that one of the shots came from there. I don't believe that, but that's where it is. And you go stand there, and I don't even think that's 90 feet. Now think about 90 feet. That's from home plate to first base. It's all so much smaller than you would think. And I knew that flew by a little bit where people were like, I heard you say I don't believe that. So what do you believe? Because everybody has their own theory about the JFK assassination. And I believe, for reasons I could sit here and go on for hours about this whole thing. But a movie came out a couple of years back. And what this guy did is he was a ballistic expert. No political leanings one way or the other. He didn't even care what the politics was in the whole thing, or all the conspiracy theories, the Warren Report, or any of that stuff. He didn't care about any of it. He was a sort of just a little pointy-headed, nerdy-looking guy, but was one of the foremost experts in ballistics. And he said, all I'm going to do is just approach this investigation from the perspective of being a ballistics expert. And all I will tell you is, when you watch this thing, and again, he's not making stuff up. He's using publicly published materials. He knows what kind of bullets were shot at Kennedy, you know, because they recovered a lot of the stuff. And so he just took all of that information, and he concluded that there were two assassins. One was Lee Harvey Oswald, who was up there in the Texas School Book Depository shooting. But when the shots rang out, one of the Secret Service agents who was in the trail car, they're not exactly sure how it happened, but that gun went off. And that was the shot that hit Kennedy from behind. And if you see the ballistics reports, the kinds of bullets wouldn't even produce the kind of damage to Kennedy's skull. And we're talking about the shots coming from Lee Harvey Oswald. It's not even the same kind of bullet. The reaction of human flesh and bone would not have had the outcome that Kennedy suffered if his head was hit from the bullet that was shot by Oswald. But it's completely consistent with a completely different kind of rifle that was accidentally discharged that hit Kennedy in the back of the head that really was the fatal shot. Then you start thinking about all the aftermath, where the FBI came in, wouldn't allow, as Texas law requires, that you do an autopsy, regardless of who it is. All they wanted to do was get the body the fuck out of Texas and get it back to Washington. And again, this was 1963, so you don't have the kind of forensic stuff available in 63 that we have now. But I'm telling you, it makes perfect sense. And even from the standpoint of separating yourself from it completely emotionally, just completely emotionally separate yourself from it. Forget all the politics, forget all the conspiracy stuff, all that, and just look at it from the ballistics. And then, like I said, the aftermath, where they wanted to rush that body out of there as fast as they could and broke the law in doing so. Well, it's all there. And that's what I think happened 58 years ago today in Dallas, Texas, 1963.
What kind of a peace do we seek? I am talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living. Not merely peace in our time, peace in all time. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man. For in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future, and we are all mortal.
And that's it. The J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, November 22nd, 2021 is in the can. We're back tomorrow with our review of House of Gucci. And then we'll be here again on Wednesday, and we'll be taking a couple of days off like everybody else. Enjoy your day. We publish every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. All the shows are archived right here. We thank our technical wizard, Everett Marshall, for his work on the project. Email me, JC at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.